lonely. If ever you're feeling low, there's one thing you must remember. A stranger's just a friend you do not know.
That's Jim Reeves. Some people will remember him singing that song there. A stranger is just a friend you do not know. But how open and friendly should we be with complete strangers? That's the question we're asking today. There's one universal piece of advice we all remember getting from our parents from an early age, and that's don't talk to strangers. Never mind taking sweets from, don't talk to them. Unless they're offering you money. Don't talk to strangers. All right. But could that be terrible advice for us as adults? New research suggests we might all be happier if we chatted to people we met by chance, whether that's on the bus, on the train, or in a waiting room. So why don't we all do it more often? Psychotherapist Trish Murphy is in with us this afternoon to tell me more about the research. Trish, you're very welcome. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
So I should be talking to strangers all the time, should I?
I think you probably do talk to strangers
all the time.
Every
day.
Look at you're beaming with happiness.
That's because I'm on heavy medication. But go on, tell me about the new research. What is it all about?
Well, the research is saying that it makes us happier if we actually talk to people, and we don't even have to know those people very well. The effect on us as a general rule is that we are happier. And I suppose what stops us from talking to strangers is fear that we might get caught in an awkward conversation or caught with some oddball. And so we don't. But when we're away, when we're on holidays, we'll chat to people, we find it all very interesting. So we want to talk to people or kids. You look at kids on buses, and kids on buses will talk to anybody, or they'll stare at you and you'll stare back and you'll have set up a game. But as adults, we really want to be insulated.
Well, you avoid eye contact, should I say, as an adult, don't you? You tend to kind of, don't want to be staring people in the eye because you think what's wrong with him or what's wrong with her.
Except on Friday nights. You notice that Friday nights people are much more chatty on the Lewis or on buses and things like that because everybody's more relaxed and they've moved into a different kind of mode. So why can't we do that more often? What stops us? And I reckon that what stops us is fear. You know, fear that we'll be rejected maybe, or fear that we'll be bored, or fear we'll be stuck. But fear is what stops us. And I think challenging that fear and breaking out of that is a really good thing for most of us.
Do we do it when we're away? Why do we do it more when we're away than we do when we're at home?
Because we're more open.
I mean, in our own land.
We're more open.
Why
we're
are we more
interested.
Open away?
Because a lot of the normal kind of boundaries and limitations are taken away from us. And we want to meet people. We go abroad and we'd like to meet the locals. So we're interested, even if they're oddballs, we're quite interested because it's a story we can bring back with us. And it's often very entertaining.
Do you agree with the research then?
Generally speaking,
I think we should chat more.
I do. I think that we're very locked into our worlds. And like that piece you were talking about earlier, we're locked into our phones, we're locked into very insular worlds. And then what happens to us, of course, is we might reach 30 or 40, find that we've left our partners, and suddenly we need to be able to talk to strangers in order to date or find somebody. And we don't know the first thing about how to do it. So I think if we practice it, we'd be better at it and we'd have more friends and we'd be more open and we'd be less fearful. And surely that's a good thing.
Well, Katrina, our researcher and reporter, has been out and about today asking people how they feel about speaking to complete strangers and whether a friendly, casual chat could make us all feel much happier in our daily lives.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked.
Now you're waiting to take the Lewis.
I am indeed, yeah.
And when you get on the Lewis, will you be sitting beside anybody in particular? Will you find your own seat? What do you do?
I will find my own seat if there's one free. What I notice with people on the Lewis is either they're with their friends and then everybody else is either on their mobile phone or listening to Walkmans or whatever, you know. I don't feel people in Dublin talk to each other the way they used to back in the day, like, you know.
Do you talk to strangers?
If somebody approaches me with a question, yeah, I'll talk to them. But I wouldn't, like, go out of my way to spark up a conversation.
Why?
I feel that I'm invading their privacy.
Now, hi, can I ask your name?
Cuiva.
And Cuiva, you're waiting here at the Lewis stop at Stephen's Green. Where are you off to today?
I'm going to Beechwood.
We're talking today about strangers talking to each other. Do you ever talk to strangers, maybe on public transport, maybe out and about?
Not unless I need something. from them, directions or something, but not just strike up a conversation.
You'd never just strike up a conversation just to say hi or anything like that?
No, not really.
Well, listen, we're getting on the Lewis now. I'm going the same direction you are. So we're on the Lewis now, on the carriage. And I wonder, would you be up for trying a little experiment?
Okay.
So the experiment is to find a stranger, sit down beside them and strike up a conversation.
On the Lewis.
On the Lewis, yeah. How do you feel about that?
It's going to be interesting.
Something you've never done before?
No, never in my life.
Okay, well, I'll let you pick the person. So we're in the kind of middle carriage here, so you have your pick of people. Just find somebody who's sitting by themselves and has a spare seat beside them.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. How's it going? Enjoying the weather today?
No, not the weather. Same old, grey, cloudy.
Yeah, a bit of sunshine still left, I guess. What are you doing in Dublin?
I'm in Trinity. I'm in first year college.
Oh, very nice.
What are you doing?
I'm working. I'm a bartender in the Turk's Head Temple Bar. Been in Ireland now 3.5 years.
Oh, okay.
Working bars since. Used to work just here in Dicey's, actually. So, yeah, this is my area of town anyway.
Where are you from originally?
Malawi, Africa.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's cool. And did you move here with your family? Or?
No. My family is still home. My dad's Irish. My mom's English.
Can I ask you, what's your name?
My name is Aaron Murphy.
And Aaron, when Caoimhe came and sat down beside you, what did you think? I mean, she could have sat anywhere. There were lots of vacant seats on this Lewis.
Yeah, usually people don't sit down and start up a conversation, so it was a nice surprise, really.
A nice surprise?
Yeah, very nice surprise.
You don't think it's a bit weird for someone to sit down and start talking?
Well, it's not something that happens usually, but when it does happen, it's nice. It's something different.
Okay. Now, Caoimhe, you've never struck up a conversation with a stranger on the Lewis before. How was it?
It was interesting. It made the journey more exciting. Passed the time quicker.
Okay. Aaron, would you ever strike up a conversation with a stranger?
No, we usually wouldn't even make eye contact, so it's nice, yeah.
And why do we not do that? Why do we not make eye contact with strangers?
I think everyone's just in their own world, you know, and just want to commute and just get on to work or whatever it is, and just don't see it as an opportunity to meet new people. And
would you like it if people started talking to you on the Lewis or on the bus or on the Dart or even, you know, out and about?
Yeah, I would say it'd be much better, you know, more friendly environment, get to know a few more people, interesting people, you know, so.
Now, you mentioned to Caoimhe there that you used to live in Malawi. Mm-hmm. Are people a lot more talkative over there? Do strangers talk to each other?
Very much so, yes, they do a lot, you know. When they see you, they're always big smiles and friendly greetings. So I don't know what the reason. Maybe they don't have smartphones, that could be it, or headphones or things like that, and music going on, and just look at the world around them, you know, and just have a bit of a chat.
I mean, as we're looking around this Lewis, the amount of heads that are bent down looking at smartphones and listening to music, and everyone, most people, I'd say well over half of this Lewis are sort of absorbed in their phones, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And if you hadn't struck up the conversation with Aaron, would you be absorbed in your phone right now, Caoimhe?
I'd probably be plugged into my iPod and talking to my friends right now, probably, yeah.
When's the last time a stranger struck up a conversation with you, Aaron?
I would have, maybe years, yeah.
Is it mostly older people who do it?
Yeah, I find much more that the older people are more, like, they'd be happy to chat away to you and ask you what you're doing and studying and that kind of stuff. They're just kind of more interested, maybe. And maybe it's because they're not from that generation of smartphones and, you know, plugged into iPods that they don't even see it as that kind of an opportunity, do you know?
Well, nice to meet you both. I'll let you back to your conversation. I'm hopping off at the next stop, so thanks a million.
No problem, anytime, thanks.
No problem.
Sir, can I ask you, when is the last time you ever spoke to a stranger?
It's a long time ago. I don't tend to speak to strangers. Closer to home, yes, I speak to my neighbours, everybody, slew people I don't know. But
when you get on the Lewis, like you're on the Lewis right now and you're standing, yeah, you're not sitting down.
I would tend not to speak to people. Unless, you know, it was a mother and child and, you know, you'd...
Making a comment about the baby,
yes,
maybe.
Absolutely. That sort of thing. But another adult, probably not.
And was there a time that you would have spoken to strangers? Maybe not just on public transport, but out and about or on a park bench
perhaps
or in the shop?
Perhaps a bit more.
And when did all that change?
Gradually, over many years. You were kind of warned by your parents.
That word stranger danger, isn't it? You're not supposed,
yes,
to speak to strangers.
Yes. Yeah, and that was always there. And also, if somebody tries to strike up a conversation with you, you can be suspicious of them. What's their motivation? And
they might be trying to con you or, yes, swindle you or something.
Or have a handout for money or something.
Now, sir, sorry for disturbing you. You're sitting here on a park bench in Stephen's Green watching the ducks and watching the swans and having a nice relaxing time.
We am indeed.
Is this somewhere you come a lot?
And virtually every morning I will come out.
And would this be your spot, this bench?
No, well, it doesn't matter. If this bench is free, I'll sit here. If not, I'll go other places in the park, you know, just somewhere quiet.
And we're talking today about strangers talking to each other. Does anybody ever sit down on the bench beside you and strike up conversations?
Very rarely. Very rarely. It doesn't happen anymore. You know, you see people with their phones. That's all they seem to do now is walk around with their head stuck at their phone. There's three girls sitting beside each other.
Yeah, they're on this park bench beside us, three girls, and they're all on their phones. Nobody's speaking to each other.
And we phones in my pocket, and I just, most times I try to ignore it, yeah.
You say it doesn't happen anymore. Did it used to happen? Was there a time where strangers would talk to each other?
We're going in my 40s now, and it's only in the past, say, 20 years where people wouldn't strike up conversations. Mm-hmm. My parents' generation, there would have been no technology. You know, so it would have been only conversation, word of mouth. You know, and that doesn't happen anymore. You don't see it anymore at all.
When you're sitting here on the bench by yourself. Does anyone ever come along and share it with you, or would they normally walk on and try and find their own bench, or how does it work?
No, well, somebody'd sit down, but they wouldn't strike up a conversation.
Would they say hello?
They might nod, you know what I mean? Or is there anybody sitting there?
And what about you? Would you strike up a conversation with people who sit down?
No, well, if they wouldn't, I wouldn't, you know, because I'm sitting here. Peace and quail. I presume that they want to do the same.
Now, a survey apparently in America has shown that people are happier if at the end of their day they have spoken to strangers or struck up conversations with people they didn't know. Can you see why it might be a nice thing to do?
Yeah, we can. They say strangers are just friends we haven't met yet.
Well, lovely talking to you. I'll let you back to your ducks. No, thanks a million.
Yeah, bye bye. When you're
strange. Yeah, strangers are just friends we haven't met yet. I'm just thinking about that. What, because of all of the mod cons that we carry around with us now for communication purposes, we tend not to even engage with anybody or want to engage with anybody. You go into the doctor's waiting room. Before you're in the doctor's waiting room, it's always an awkward place to be. And there's somebody sitting beside you and you mightn't ask them what their ailment is. Though one woman did ask me once. Anyway, I told her I was in for a pregnancy test. But you're in there and you now don't want to engage with them. So you whip out the mobile phone immediately, or you pick up the magazine and you get your head buried into it because you don't want to engage.
But think about this, right? If we're doing that because we're feeling a bit uncomfortable, and then you just move that a little closer to home, and then you find you're sitting beside your partner and your kids, and all of you are on a computer and a mobile phone, and the TV is on, and plus an iPad. And you can see that we're becoming ever more distracted and unavailable. So, you know, I guess it would be nice if we made the effort and, you know, took a little risk and said hi to somebody, and you know,
so we're becoming more isolated in the world of telecommunications that brings us all together.
I know, it's true though. I think we are. I think the other one is Tinder. You know, this is the new app for dating, and I think now that what they have is you just scroll through all these things, but you might actually find somebody in the same bar as you. And to me, that's a plus. It's not quite talking to a stranger, but at least you might find somebody that you're talking to on your phone in the same building. That has to be a proper move in the right direction.
Well, I know people who are constantly on Facebook and tweeting and all that, and they have so many likes and so many followers, and they've so many friends on Facebook. And I said, friends, have you ever met them? Have you ever been out with them? Do you ever have a conversation with them? No.
No, no. So not real friendship. But, you know, imagine if everybody out there who's listening decided they were going to talk to one stranger today. We could look around tomorrow and see is everybody happier.
I wonder will there be. Some emails coming in. Why is chatting to people on phones seen as a negative? Great conversations can be had on Twitter too, even with strangers, says James. Yeah, it can, but it doesn't beat talking to somebody face to face, somebody sitting beside you, engaging. How are you getting on? Where are you off to? Oh, it's a bloody nuisance today, or whatever the case may be. There isn't a rain, terrible, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's great and it can be great, but it's a bit protected, you know, so we take more risks when we actually put ourselves in front of someone.
Kate has been on to say, on a trip to London, myself and my sister took the tube one day. Nobody made eye contact and it was very uncomfortable. There was a sudden emergency stop whereby I fell flat on my back, narrowly missing a guide dog. The whole carriage erupted and it brought a smile to everyone's face. It was amazing. And then everything changed in a second. I still smile when I think about it, says Kate. Another one here, I talk to people I don't know all the time in the supermarket, on the bus, and even waiting to cross the road. You don't have to tell them anything personal. You can just have a chat. Another one here, two of my best friends I met 40 years ago at the bus stop. We were at the same stop every day.
That's excellent. There you are. You might meet your life partner at the bus stop.
Have you heard about the speed friending, by the way? We've all heard of speed dating, but speed friending.
Yeah, it's a new idea where similar to speed dating, but it's about friendship. So you go along, it's organized, it's structured, you know, they give you topics of conversation. And I think it's a good idea because there's lots of people who've struggled to meet friends because, you know, the work they're in is particularly difficult or something. And it's a fantastic idea. There's a lot of people could do with a wider social circle. You take a lot of that dating stuff out of it and it makes it easier. So I'm all for it.
Get out.
I am all
and get
for
social.
It.
Listen, I want to talk to you about your article in the Irish Times today, and you do an agony aunt page in the Irish Times on Tuesdays. You're talking about grandparents who don't have access to grandchildren.
Yeah, somebody wrote in, and the difficulty is that their son, who's newly married and they have a baby, that the daughter-in-law is reluctant to give them access, and they're suffering a lot over that. And I think there's often difficulties in families, say, for example, if there's separation or estrangement of some sort, it can be really difficult to maintain contact with children where there's difficulties with the adults. But it's worth it to work through those things. It's worth it in the end because of what the reward is, particularly with children.
But what do you say to them? You're saying it might be worth it to work through it, but how?
Well, the how is, you know, that if you're cross and you're upset and you're agitated, that's going to come across. So you have to sort out your own emotions about your, you know, relation or your daughter-in-law first. And you have to be patient. You have to work with where they're at. And when they don't feel threatened, then they'll be much more open to allowing you access. Mm. If they feel threatened, they're going to block it.
It's very unfair, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's very difficult.
On grandparents, you know, particularly, because I know from my own mother's point of view, when the kids would be around, oh my God, her eyes would light up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Even despite the fact she had Alzheimer's, the minute the kids come into the room, bing, you know, that
sure, that's such a special relationship. I mean, you know, the grandparents, you are the delight. You know, they don't have to discipline you as a child. Mm. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, everything's good in grannies, isn't it?
Sort of. But it's a difficult problem, and I think we can work on our side of it. I think we're always trying to work on the other side, but we can do what we can to do with our intentions and our emotions and try and get rid of our criticism, and then we have a chance.
All right, Tricia, thank you very much indeed. You can read more about it in the Irish Times today if you want to get a copy of same. Tricia, thank you very much indeed. You can email Mooney at rte.ie.